I'm ready to talk about travel. We do that every week, thanks to guests in studio who love exploring and invite you as well. Carolee Berenson, will call you our travel expert because you are doing great work with our WGVU Explorers. Good morning to you, Kelly.
Good morning, Shelley. Thank you for having me on with you this morning.
You're quite welcome and an honor. Let's talk about where you all soon go.
That's right, Shelley. And do you know we are into the fourth year already of our WGVU Explorer program. We're so excited about it. Our next trip is just around the corner. It's not too late to register, but you'd probably better call me right away.
Okay.
And it's going to Ireland and Britain. Yep, we are going to be featuring Ireland, England, Scotland, and Wales. Heading out October 13, arriving, and then coming back on the 27th of October. So like I said, there's still room for you on the trip, but you probably should call me today. My number is 800-442-2771.
Now, I know there is a kind of a meet and greet this coming Tuesday night. I'm sure you'll talk about Ireland, but also you'll be talking about what we are going to also be talking about here, Kel.
That's correct, Shelley. So the next time we meet as a group and learn more about our trips will be next Tuesday, which is already September 12th, 6 o'clock at night. And what we're going to be talking about is our trip for next summer, the National Parks of America, which will be departing on June 8th and going through till the 19th of June. So we will be talking about that particular trip that night, but we can answer any questions you might have. We've got another trip coming up before that, which is the Springtime Tulip River Cruise, which is next April 5 through 13. I mean, we've got these trips planned, and my phone has been so busy, but it's been great. I've been signing people up left and right, and I want you to have an opportunity to join us on these trips. If you have travel on your bucket list, I would love to hear from you.
Kelly, how in general, how do these trips work? I know I've been on an organized trip, and it was very, very smooth. In other words, you really take care of your guests.
That's right, Shelley. So what happens is a couple of weeks before we head out, we have a pre-departure meeting, and everybody comes here to the WGVU offices, and we meet each other and get our travel documents and answer any last-minute questions. Michael Walenta will be there, our general manager. He'll lead the meeting and then tell everybody what time to be at the airport, and we'll all meet together. Then we all get on the flight together and then head over to our destination. And then once we get to the destination, we meet up with our travel manager, our tour manager, who will be with us the entire trip. They'll be there either at the airport or at the hotel, depending on the time of day and the location we start out at. And they'll be with us the whole time, along with the rest of us are all together. And then when we're done at the end of the tour, we all come home together. Then about 2 or 3 weeks after that, we have a reunion meeting so we can all get back together and share stories and pictures. And by that time, everybody knows each other quite well. We've all become very close friends, and we can't wait to see each other again. So that's kind of the outline of how a trip works.
I would say, maybe with the exception of the National Parks of America, make sure we have our passport ready to go, Kelly.
That's right. In fact, we've got a couple of travelers right now that just signed up, and they're getting their passports expedited right now, which usually takes, we like to say 6 weeks on a regular time frame, but I think you can expedite it in about 2 to 3 weeks. But anyways, yes, we always need our passports. And speaking of that, you want to check your passport and make sure that it's valid about 6 to 8 months after we return from our trip. So just be sure of that. If it isn't valid that far out, go ahead and renew it, and then you'll be set to travel.
Yes. Here's another just blunt question, because I know you've been on one of these trips at least, Kelly. Do I need to pack some fancy clothes? Are we going out dancing and dining?
That's a great question, Shelley. I hope we can do some dancing and dining, but we don't need to dress up for it.
Okay.
Most of our trips are considered casual, and our trips are rated 1 to 5 on how strenuous the trip is, which is helpful. I don't really think there are very many ones, which is very, very relaxed and not too much walking, but most of them are a 2 to a 4. But you'll want to wear great walking shoes, be prepared to do some walking, not all at one time. We'll walk, you know, to the first location, then maybe do some sightseeing and then walk again. So overall, Michael likes to tell the folks that we might be walking 10 miles. I don't know. Not so much, not all at one time, and it's certainly up to you how much you want to do that. You can stay at the bus, or you can stay at the hotel if you'd like. Whatever works best for you.
Oh, speaking of Michael, hello, General Manager Michael Walenta. Join us for the next 8.5 minutes to talk about our WGB Explorers. Oh, no, you get 8 minutes.
Good morning. Would have been here sooner. We need more wireless microphones at work on the freeway.
Oh. You're here now. That's what counts.
Yes,
Michael, we've talked about the meet and greet for Tuesday night, and basically we've teased Ireland and what's coming up. So whatever else you need to share, we talk what passports, Kelly, and that we don't really need to dress up on these trips.
That's correct.
Dress for comfort, not for looks. I mean, and that's serious. And, you know, I think Jim said it best. Jim and Lori were on a recent trip with us, and at the end, Jim said to me, and I didn't even go and ask him this, and he said, you know, Michael, I got to tell you, you and Kelly told us over and over and over, pack light, you don't need to bring a lot, pack light, you don't need to bring a lot. We had heard, oh, put everything out, cut it in half. We heard all these things. Mm-hmm. Michael, the one thing I got to tell all your listeners and viewers and people who go with you, listen to Michael, pack light, because you don't need it all. We wish we'd brought half as much as we did.
See? And you've saved yourself perhaps, you know, some shoulder injury or paying an extra fee.
Rotator cuff surgery or
bicep
separation or hip unalignment. Well, you're a physical therapist in your former life. You know all these words.
You don't need that rehab.
That's right. You don't need all that. So, well, the rehab is to go on another trip, but pack lighter.
Yes.
But really, and you've been on the trips before. You both have traveled. So any tricks to how to pack light that you want to share? I have mine, but I'm a guy, as they say. I race sailboats. I climb mountains. There's a perception about how light I might travel, which could be true on some days.
That's true.
You know what, Michael? I took a lot of stock in what you said, and I took a smaller suitcase than my traveling companion took, and they kind of chuckled at me a little bit, but let me tell you what. I had 32 pounds of suitcase, and she had almost 50. So there was a big difference, and I know that after a while, you kind of get tired of carrying all your belongings with you. So the lighter, the better.
You're tall, too. I mean, I don't want people to think that you're 4 foot and 90 pounds dripping wet. I mean, you stand 7'9". You know, you bench 300, so yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you to pack, what was it, 32 pounds?
32 pounds, mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
And you were gone for 12 days?
I was gone for 12 days, 32 pounds. So I was very pleased with how it all worked out.
Now there might be one person who thinks, okay, so you checked a 32-pound suitcase, but how much was your 50-pound backpack and your 82-pound carry-on?
That's true, but I did not have a heavy backpack, and I had a very small purse. So it really was manageable, lightweight, and easy to work with that way. I didn't need all that extra stuff that other people might want to bring with them. I felt like, you know what? I don't care if I have to wear the same outfit a couple of times. It doesn't matter, and nobody cares.
It really does come down to that. I like to use a soft-sided piece of luggage. Then I can put things in corners, and that's my little tip.
Now, when you do it in corners, and people always worry about how it's going to look when it comes out, do you stuff it in a corner? Do you roll it up? Do you worry about that?
I think I'm a stuffer.
Press it later?
I don't think I'm a stuffer.
Are you the
the one with the wrinkled shirt.
The de-wrinkler in the shower person?
No, I don't think I've gone there. I think most of my clothes don't wrinkle.
Which is my
Or
trick.
I don't care.
You know, I put it on a hanger, you hang it in the bathroom, and then all that steam tends to take all the wrinkles out if you do that the night before.
I do the best I can, but I think I'm guilty of the stuffing. But as we were mentioning, we don't really bring fancy clothes.
No, we sure don't.
And you don't need to. And certainly for the women, you do not wear or need
heels.
No way.
I know that's hard to not think that way, but Even a nice, I mean, I'm sure there'll be a nice dinner or lunch, but you're right, I don't need the
dinner. But it's not like you're walking on the red carpet. I mean, there will be a nice dinner, there will be nice lunches, there will be good places to go, but realistically, we're not moving in a limo, we're moving in a, they call it a bus. It's a bus, but and our driver's not a bus driver, he's a coach driver. The bus drivers drive the city bus and stop every block, and you learn this very quickly. But a coach driver, it's a very big profession over there because of all the tourism that goes on. But these drivers are phenomenal. I mean, I've seen them with an inch to spare, and you're worried about doing a 3-point turn. They'll do a 12-point turn to get out of a tight spot with an inch and fore and aft, and they'll make it. Of course, it may be 10 minutes, and it's very entertaining, but they will do it. They won't scrape any paint, and it's just amazing to watch. So you're going to show up on the boost. You're going to get to dinner. You're going to walk in. You're going to be seated.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think people would even know if you were barefoot at that point in time.
That's true.
But when you walk on cobblestones, when you go up and down on a bus all day, mm-hmm. whether the sidewalks are slippery or not slippery, right. We go. Whether they're cobblestoned or not, we go. And, you know, many times we're going to get to, imagine you get to Grand Rapids, okay, the bus stops at Calder Plaza, but they're going to pick us up at the Ford Museum, and you're going to walk all the way over there.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's fine. We're very ADA compliant here in Grand Rapids. We've got nice streets. Oh, now, move the clock back 1,000 years, and here we are traipsing through some historic place, which is why you want to be there in the first place.
Yes.
Uneven sidewalks, not all ADA compliant because they just can't. You know, it's cobblestones, right. It's slippery rock, mm-hmm. and you want to be wearing your 5-inch heel?
No,
sturdy shoes, sturdy, comfortable shoes.
Sturdy and comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and well
worn.
Well worn, well broken
new.
In.
Don't wear your brand new tennis shoes on that first day, right?
Or bring lots of moleskin.
to keep yourself
either way,
protected.
Either way. But pack for layers. Dress just for comfort, but pack in layers. And
that's
I think
right.
that's a key part, too. If you know, to me, of course, I'll bring a short sleeve, a long sleeve. If it's winter, I'll bring two longs and one short. But a fleece or a sweater and a windbreaker and maybe a ball cap. And if I think we're going to be outdoors a lot, like on a Normandy trip around the beaches a lot, so I might throw in a really lightweight pair of gloves.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wear them. You have them if you need them, and they're handy. So little tricks like that. Maybe if you get cold easily, maybe you want a really lightweight fleece hat
mm-hmm.
for your morning run or your morning walk out for coffee or mm-hmm. like today here in West Michigan. It's a little crisp
yes.
out. It's not crisp to come out of your house, get in your car, and walk in the office. It's crisp to go stand at a statue for an hour mm-hmm. while a docent mm-hmm. explains the significance of where you're at.
Right.
That can be a little chilly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, a couple more minutes. Again, soon off to Ireland, and then your presence is graced in the Amsterdam area, and then the parks, Michael.
All the national parks out west, I mean the national parks, one of the great, great treasures of the United States. Many of the places we're going were featured in the great Ken Burns program that we aired on national parks. But these are some of the earliest national parks we've had in the whole national park system. And our trivia question for today is, what was the second national park in the national park system?
Is it Michigan?
Let's go slower. It's east of the Mississippi.
All right. Kelly.
I don't know for sure.
It's north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Okay.
What's the answer?
It borders a Great Lake.
Oh.
It is in Michigan.
It is in Michigan.
Right. It's between the two halves of Michigan.
Isle Grosson. Isle
Royal.
You're thinking Isle Royal, which is a national park.
Okay. It's Sleeping Bear Dunes.
That's a national lakeshore in the national park system. Mackinac Island.
No
just
kidding.
Two Saturdays ago.
It was
ago.
The second national park in the national park system, and it cost so much to keep it at those standards and protect it and keep it up. They gave it back, and now we have the land of fudge and horses, but, you know, it is
I'll
what it,
it
is, but they gave it back. But the first one was Yellowstone, you know, and then it has moved on from there. But Isle Royal is what a lot of people would call kind of the primitive national park, if you will. You know, it's pristine. It's very natural. You've got Yosemite, Rainier, you know, places like that in their primitive state. There's less than 60 of those. I think the number is 58. but we're going to go to many of them. You got Bryce, Zion, places like that.
Yes.
But you also have national monuments in the National Park System. Ford's Museum in Washington, D.C. is part of the National Park System. So I believe the Washington Monument is in the National Park System as well. So those are all part of National Parks as well. There's nearly 400 of them now.
Wow, that's great.
So,
that's awesome.
The distinction. But we were going to go to many in the National Park System. We'll fly into Phoenix, Arizona. We'll fly out of Rapid City, South Dakota. And we'll kind of hit all the national parks in between. We'll be in Jackson Hole long enough that if you want to climb up and do the Grand Teton.
Fun.
Yeah.
Sure.
You can
that's
do
the
that.
That's the end. Yeah.
I would definitely need my comfortable shoes there.
Yeah, comfortable shoes, your warm hat, you know, maybe a little altitude acclimatization there. But yeah, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which was featured on the Weather Channel during the eclipse because they had a crew up on top.
That's right.
And
right.
Jackson Hole had sold just a limited number of tickets to get up on top. We're speculating that it was one or two tram loads, and the tram loads in most of these places are 125. And if you've never been on a tram, I can assure you that the little gate attendant is counting. And you may think that we're full at 115, and they will make sure all 125 are in, and you're going to be real cozy.
Nice.
So Kelly, it is what it is. But lots of great trips coming up. Kelly is the one to talk to if you have any questions at all, how to pack light, how many shots you need, what's your power converter, how much currency do you need, how do you get your passport, how
that's
to
right.
sign up, do you want the aisle seat, do you want the middle seat?
Mm-hmm. That's all true, Michael.
The September 12th, one more time on that date.
That's right. So next week, Tuesday, September 12th at 6 p.m. here in the WGVU studios, we're going to be having an informational travel session meeting about the National Parks of America, but we'll also be available to answer any other questions you might have. I do have a blank reservation form that we are using. If you want to put your name on the list to go to a future trip that we have planned, such as Normandy in the spring of 2019, we'll be going back to Normandy. We've had an extraordinary amount of interest in that trip, and so if you want to put your name on the list, put your deposit down, I can take that from you as well.
Michael, your final words?
Well, along with, since you mentioned Normandy and the 75th anniversary of D-Day, we did that trip also for the 70th anniversary, so it was a phenomenal trip. It's, if you're worried, no, it's not all military. We'll spend usually about 3 days in Paris before we take off and go down that coastline. But things non-military, the Bayou Tapestry, Mont Saint-Michel, 3 days going, covering everything there is to do in Paris. So there's a lot of non-military things to do as well. And speaking of that, 7 o'clock tonight in Grand Rapids and Muskegon and down in Kalamazoo, we've got the screening of the next program from Ken Burns, since we just mentioned one. The next one is called The Vietnam War, so that's coming up. You've got the whole information sheet right there, don't you?
Mentioned it at 9:06. We'll mention it every break. Join WGVU for this exclusive screening of the Ken Burns documentary, The Vietnam War. 7 o'clock. For location information, reserve seating, WGVU.org or LZMichigan.org. Our sign-off, please.
Okay. From all of us at WGVU Public Media and for all of us at WGVU Explorers, for the rest of your life, travel on.